Welcome to the Wings Over New Zealand show. I'm your host, Dave Homewood.
And I'm your co-host, James Kiteley, for the Wings Over Australia segment of the Wings Over New Zealand show.
And this is a Wings Over Australia update. We're doing this, 6 days into the Wings Over Australia tour, James?
We are. It's been a pretty, the key word, I think, for us so far has been intense. It's been amazing and interesting, and we've managed to see and do a lot with a lot of help from a lot of people, which is a key thing we'd like to do. But we're doing this now because we want to share with people where we're up to, where we're going, where we've been, and what fascinating stuff has been happening.
Yeah, absolutely. We just wanted to give you a bit of an update and let you know what will be coming up in the future Wings Over Australia series when it starts to be released. So, man, it seems like a lot longer than 6 days, that because we've seen so much, been to so many places and met so many people. But, we've seen museums, veterans, and all sorts of aviation personalities.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's been interesting for me because most of these people and museums I know reasonably well. Some are very close friends, and others are people that, I chat to as I go to air shows. And here we are putting them on the spot and asking questions about their careers or about the nature of their museum. Again, people have been really, really generous, and I think the key thing that I'd like to sort of start off with is we're just delighted to be able to share this with the listeners, and we'd hope that you guys enjoy this series of podcasts and share it with people yourselves who you feel would be interested in it, because it's been fascinating, the variety of stuff we've hit.
Yeah, absolutely, and let's just run down what we've done so far. I arrived at 8:30 in the morning, local Melbourne time, at Tullamarine, and James picked me up, and we went straight into the city and met up with a long-time friend online, and I met for the first time Keith Webb.
Indeed, and Keith's a great guy, another personal friend of mine, and it was great to meet with Keith, both to sort of kick off the whole series as in the right format, and also for Keith's help. Keith's a very experienced interviewer of veterans. He's got an awful lot of veteran interviews that he's done, primarily over many years in association with the Temora Aviation Museum, and he's always travelling, always catching these guys, and he was able to cue us up with some possibilities. But we actually had an interview with Keith, and that was fascinating because Dave and Keith got to compare notes from the opposite sides of the Tasman about how they go about interviewing their veterans. Yeah. And it was fascinating for me sort of talking to these two guys, a lot of experience in this field, and the similarities. There was a bit of laughter about how certain things always happen certain ways, and also the differences. They have a very different approach, and both approaches have their advantages and disadvantages, which you'll get to hear in Keith's episode.
Yeah, absolutely. It was great to meet him. And one of the names that Keith gave me as a possible contact, I went and saw the next day in Melbourne, and that's Peter Isaacson, who was the Lancaster bomber pilot who he flew 45 operations, and that was with 460 Squadron RAAF on Wellingtons and Lancasters, and then he moved across to do Pathfinder Squadron. So he completed 45 ops altogether, and then somehow was, and he doesn't really know how, he was chosen to bring a Lancaster right around the world. And many of you may have seen photographs of that Lancaster. It's Queenie 6, which he flew all the way up from Britain to Australia across the Pacific route. And once he got to Australia, he spent a couple of days there, and then he brought it across to New Zealand. So there's a real Kiwi connection there, and he did a bit of a tour of New Zealand, all doing war bond raising, morale raising type fly pass. And he then took it back to Australia, where he toured around the country, and he took rides in the Lancaster and various things like that. And it was really great to catch up and meet him. I'd read about him. I'd heard from many people, in New Zealand, including in Cambridge, my hometown, who saw that Lancaster fly over in June 1943, and it was the first Lancaster to ever come to New Zealand. So that was really neat to catch up with him. He was a great gentleman.
And yeah, absolutely. One of the things that's been fascinating here is that those that know about Peter Isaacson's story, he's got a fair amount of stuff out there. The first thing that always comes up is he is the guy who flew the Lancaster under the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and there's a famous photograph of Queenie going under there. And that's great, but it's really good that Dave was able to get together together with him and to put a bit more of a spotlight on the Kiwi end of the tour, which has often been overlooked elsewhere. And that was a great place to start with our veterans. And I think perhaps I'd like to just move on a little bit there and say one of the sort of sad moments we've had on the tour so far is that another veteran that we hope to interview, thanks to Keith Webb's advice, had passed away recently and is no longer with us. And it indicates, I think, one moment for that gentleman who I won't name because of, he stands for many others, I think. But we're very conscious that these guys are beginning the ranks of thing very much. And so we're delighted when we do manage to catch someone, but we don't manage to get to them all.
Yeah, I did try to get his story, and unfortunately I was too late, and there's many like that. But the good thing is there's a lot of people out there that are preserving these stories, including Keith, and places like museums. You know, there's some really great people in museums. And the next day we went and saw a really quite interesting museum.
Indeed, and I'd like to sort of say a big thank you for the guys there, because Phil Varbray and Maurice Austin very kindly opened up the Airways Museum at Essendon Airport in Melbourne. It's the former Melbourne International Airport, and this is a fascinating museum. As Phil pointed out at the start of the tour, this is an aircraft museum without any aircraft, but it makes great radio. They have all sorts of black, brown, grey boxes, mainly grey boxes, to do with air navigation, airways, and how we fly and navigate safely, and the history and heritage of that. Now, you might think that doesn't sound very exciting, and you might think, well, grey boxes, that sounds terrible. I have to say, and I know these two chaps very well, and the museum very well, it was really surprising and fascinating all sorts of ways. I don't think, if you ever fly anywhere in an airliner, you'll listen to this and you go, I didn't know that, and I'm glad I do now, because it tells you about how we've managed to develop safe aviation for the airways system around the world, how there's some great innovations that have come from Australia in there. And I was really keen to do it because I reckon they had a lot of machines that would go bing and bong and whiz, and they do indeed have some pretty amazing noises to hear on the podcast.
They do, but it wasn't just the noises in the background that were great. The way that they tell those stories, they're both very, very knowledgeable and very, very interesting chaps, and it does make really great radio. So, you know, you guys will love that podcast when we get that edited and out.
Don't miss that one. It might seem like something you go, oh, I'll skip that. That would be a mistake.
Don't miss it. And then on, what day was the next day? Saturday, we went down to Moorabbin, and they had a bit of an open day there, which was really good. They had all sorts of things going on, and I caught up with some really, really, really interesting guys. Dave Soderstrom.
Yep.
Soderstrom. And who else was there? There was Ewan MacArthur. Is that right?
I can't remember. I've just completely blanked. And this is actually a live broadcast, so there's no editing going on here. But yes, we had Dave, we had Ewan, we had Ash,
Ashley Briggs.
Ashley Briggs, who is the current chairman of the museum. And Soda, I give a tip of the hat to Soda. He was getting a little bit of stick from a friend online yesterday, I think, about being able to talk a lot. Well, he talked a lot, and it was good.
He was brilliant. He was really, really good at telling the stories of the aircraft that he's been working on there, helping to preserve, bringing back to some sort of presentation that is more vibrant than just being a dead aircraft in a museum. And again, also with Ewan, getting to have a look over the most significant aircraft in the collection there, which was the Bowfighter, and we don't see anything like that in New Zealand. The Bowfighter is quite a rare aircraft, and so that was fantastic for me. And I've talked to a lot of people who, remembered the Bowfighter. Some of them flew in the Bowfighter. I've talked to one or two, Bowfighter pilots, and to actually get up close and personal to one and, get that first-hand knowledge from somebody who's actually been working to make sure that it stays live. I mean, it's going to be alive again, isn't it, James?
That's their plans. Aircraft. Indeed, that's their plans. And when we walked up, you and MacArthur, indeed, was scrubbing away at a panel, and he had his cell phone, his mobile phone, clutched to his ear at the same time, multitasking as the man always does, as so many of these guys do. This stuff that we're looking at is being achieved by people who put a lot of effort in and are often multitasking that stuff. Yeah, absolutely. With the bow fight, it was a definite museum highlight. And one of the things I'd like to sort of mention here is that we both got into the aircraft. I sat in the pilot seat, which is great fun. But the reason I sat in the pilot seat was not to just have a hero shot moment, but to actually talk with you and about what you can see and how it is to be in the bow fighter pilot seat, what the sort of view was, what fell to hand, what doesn't fall to hand. This is a British aircraft, of course, and that was fascinating. And so it's actually been a really exposing of people's experiences in ways that we wouldn't necessarily have seen before. So again, big thanks to the guys at the Australian National Aviation Museum, often known as the Moorabbin Museum. And they had we had a look at the F-111 module they've got there, which was fascinating. Firefly, a real standout again was the Viscount, which they've got their cockpit of their Viscount is remarkably active, and again I think will make great podcast sound and activities. You make things go ring in that case. There was one of the warnings, so don't miss that one.
Sounded like an old lady's bicycle bell.
It did, yes, but it was a little bit more serious and a little bit more of an important aircraft.
Yeah, and then we got up to Sunday, and we went down to Werribee, didn't we? Did we? Was that Sunday? Our brains are a bit fried because of so much we've been doing. Yeah, I can't read this damn paper. Where is it?
No, we're going to have to cut.
This has changed.
Yeah.
Hang on. We're not going to cut. We're going to keep on going. We did go to Werribee. When was that? Yesterday?
No.
Come on, James. Think. We're not going to cut. We said we're not going to cut.
Yeah, it's not going to work, though.
Okay, we've been to Werribee. We went to Werribee. Yes, we went yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah. That would have been Sunday. Yeah, that's right. It was Sunday. We went down yesterday to Werribee. We went and had a look at the B-24 restoration.
No.
James is losing it. No, you're not. No, yeah, I'm sorry. This is live, James. You can't just dip out on live. You're going to be doing this live for real around the world in a week's time. So, James has lost it. But this is what it's like. We're having these serious, serious aviation conversations this week, and then suddenly we just crack up laughing, and then we're like, oh, God, we're tired. We're tired. We're so tired. But it's so funny. We're just packing in so much stuff, and we've been doing so much recording, not just looking and photographing, but we're doing so much recording with people. And, you know, yesterday was real privilege for me, and I think for James too, but he'd actually been there before. But the B-24 restoration is fantastic. And to be shown around that actual hangar and collection and restoration facility by Nat Eichler, who actually was a radar and wireless operator on the Royal Australian Air Force B-24s.
Exactly, yes. So Nat had trained near the end of the war as a wireless operator, and then it was secret, I believe, radar operator. Some of the Australian B-24s, not all of them, were equipped with a ground mapping or downward looking radar, American design, similar to the H-2S system on the British bombers. And Nat is, there was some dispute from his colleague whether it was 90 or 91, but definitely well into his 90s.
Yeah.
Remarkably sprightly considering his age, and he walked us around the B-24, which is in a very historic hangar down at Werribee, he was able to talk us through each of the crew positions, what the restoration was going, the operations and so on, very, very cogently. He ducked into the bomb bay. As those who know the B-24, you can come in up through the bomb bay, and explained the whole thing in really good detail. And that was again a real privilege for someone to be able to show us through that. And again, something I've been lucky enough to do is I was shown around the Halifax in the Royal Canadian Air Force Collection Museum at Trenton in Canada in a similar way. And that gentleman, sadly, is the Halifax captain who showed me over that aircraft is sadly no longer with us. And of course, they have knowledge and insights that you can't pick up any other way. So while we're having a great time, and I think that little break up there indicates it's really hard work too. And
I think I actually know why you might have broken up, because I actually missed out one of the whole show recordings that we did When we got back from Moorabbin, we went and saw Ian Whitney and did a...
Absolutely,
yeah,
yes.
And yeah. I couldn't work out why
what
you...
What came next is, in fact, at the moment, it's what are we doing next?
Yeah.
And that's really... I hope you guys are enjoying this because we're enjoying it, but we're kind of, wow, this is pretty amazing. So, yes, absolutely. So go back one. We were lucky enough to meet up with Ian Whitney, who's up here in rural Victoria. Again, Ian is another gentleman I've spent a bit of time chatting to, and we were able to sit down with him and in his classic position with his cigarillos and a little glass of something special beside him, and go through some of his fascinating experiences in aircraft recovery in Papua New Guinea, mainly. Lots of other anecdotes as well, and some of that stuff is gold. Again, to step sideways slightly for a moment. We've had three real objectives with this trip in terms of what we've aimed to record and to share with you, our listeners, and that is veterans, which we've talked about specifically in one key way, museums, which you've obviously mentioned, and what we're doing with the museums is we're doing sort of walkthroughs. We'll come back to that perhaps. But the third, and just as important in a very different way, is aviation personalities, and Ian and Keith would definitely be aviation personalities in their own right. They would probably be the first one to say, no, not me. But they've got experiences and knowledge that being able to tap that and share that is really, really good. So a tip of the hat to Ian for his time. That's going to be a really fun one and very different.
I will say this now. Ian was one of the most interesting aviation personalities I've met in a long, long time. And it is a fascinating story. And it's going to take a bit of editing there, I think. But
The end result will be worth it.
Even when I take out some of the Australian words in there, I will present a really, really good show, I'm sure of it. And, you know, the other reason about why we kind of lost it and cracked up there a minute ago is I just want to point out this is being recorded as live, which means I can put it straight out on the internet tonight and you can listen to it now. And instead of having to wait for a couple of weeks when I start doing the editing of all these other shows, because I can't do the editing until I get home and do it on my edit suite, which is at home. I haven't got it with me. But this show tonight, we're putting this update out specifically for you guys to listen to now, so you've got a taster of what's to come. Where we've been, and you've got an idea of you know, what's actually happening on the tour. And if you want to catch up with other things we've been doing on the tour and seen a few photos, we're on Facebook and Twitter and the forum, but we'll mention all that a bit later. Just getting back to yesterday, and it was still yesterday.
Only yesterday, yes.
It doesn't seem it, but Werribee seems like about 3 weeks ago now, but it was yesterday morning. We went from Werribee to just down the road to the Royal Australian Air Force Museum at Point Cook, where we had a little bit of a forum meet and caught up with some... Very briefly caught up with some of the forum members and Wings Over New Zealand show listeners, and that was great. And I got to see some of the excellent aircraft in that museum.
But only too briefly, and I'd just like to give a shout out to those forum members who did come along. We really appreciated they made the effort to come and meet with us.
Yeah,
we're sorry definitely. We weren't able to spend as long as we would like to have done, but the reason we had to cut and run was we went off to do another interview, in this case with Jeff Matthews and Ron Gretton, both Royal Australian Air Force engineering officers retired, and they have a fascinating history. They were able to give us a bit of their Air Force careers and their other interesting experiences, but we also wanted to talk to them particularly about a couple of restorations that they were worked with at the museum, which is the restoration of the Supermarine Walrus, and building as Project 2014 a replica modern Bristol box kite, a 1910 design, which they were able to do, and the Air Force was able to fly 1 century on, exactly to the hour as the Air Force understand it, at Point Cook, from the very first flight of a military aircraft in Australia. So that was a terrific story, and as I say, sorry to the forum members that I had to drag Dave away to talk to these gentlemen, but I'm sure you'll understand why. And as ever, that's another one to not miss. Well, we think they're all unmissable. We've you know, this is our thing. We're not selling anything here. There's nothing to buy. And so we can be honest. We think each of these shows is well worth a go. And I wouldn't have missed a minute of it. I really wouldn't.
Oh, seriously, we haven't had a dud yet. In fact, at that forum meet, very briefly, I did do a short recording with Andy Wright. And
yep.
He's one of the good friends from online that I finally got to meet in person. And we did a recording with him, an interview with him for the show about his excellent aircrew book review website. And also another who turned up and, you know, it was great to catch up with again was Grant McHeron. And he's, you know, good friend of the show and the forum and you know, personal friend as well. And it's always good to see him. And, you know, he's my co-host on the Wings Over New Zealand live show as well. And we'll be broadcasting with Grant and James, if James can hold it together next week, on Warbird Radio on the Wings Over New Zealand live show. So that was really good, and it was also nice to meet Evan Hsu and Kevin Smith at that forum meet. But of course, after we saw those engineers, we had to jump in the car and race back north again, because there was something else going on there, and that was we had to go and meet with Matt Henderson in his hangar at Kyneton.
And Matt very kindly had offered to fly this lost Kiwi in a Kiwi aeroplane, because we have to have the Kiwi fly. So this Kiwi does fly. And yes, Matt Henderson owns a CT-4, and we had a terrific interview with Matt. Very knowledgeable and very enthusiastic about aviation generally, but specifically the CT-4 and flying as a civilian and military environment, and flying with the Royal Australian Air Force heritage flyers, as well as his own stuff. And then we were able to pop Dave inside the CT-4, and they went for a little fly, which, because we're good podcasters, Dave recorded. We probably won't play the middle bit, which is mainly noise, but the startup sequence, and Matt was asked to, you know, run us through that and the finish. But I think actually most important out of that was we had a very knowledgeable New Zealander, Dave, talking about the CT-4, and very knowledgeable Australian, Matt, talking about the CT-4. And I think they both surprised each other in a little bit in terms of what they knew that the other one didn't, and also vice versa. It was really capitalising on the knowledge. I found it fascinating.
I found it fascinating too. I found it really great to have that chat with Matt. He has a deep love of the aircraft. He has a deep knowledge of the aircraft and all its background, and he knew about the Kiwi background, which is really odd for an Australian, because most of them think it was designed by a lawnmower factory or something, you know. And
we did cover the origins of the CT-4, yeah, I think, yeah, fairly. And actually, most interestingly, there we actually went into some detail on the modifications and developments, remarkably accurate, and often a muddled area in this aircraft's history, right up to date with the latest version and its current state, which is quite interesting, and you'll have to listen to the podcast, yep, to find those details.
And his actual aircraft is quite a special one, because those mods and developments were often, a lot of them came through the testing that they did on this aircraft at ARDU.
Yes, Aircraft Research and Development, yep, Unit.
And that's where his aircraft actually served it. And I have to say a huge shout out and thank you to Matt for that flight. I was never expecting the flight. James set it up and then said, "You're going flying." And it was wonderful. It was the most perfect day, beautiful blue evening, looking out across a vast flat landscape with a few hills that bump around us.
We like to think of them as mountains, Dave.
Yeah, no, but they're hills. Now, come on. Now, just don't spoil the ambience. Kiwis are all going to imagine it wrong.
Yeah, these are what we call worn-in mountains, yeah, quite low mountains.
You've filled in all the bits in between,
so
it's nice and flat. But no, what I was going to say is it's so green. It's really green here in Victoria at the moment. And from the air, the gum trees look like normal trees. They don't look like gum trees. So
that is normal trees, Dave.
But you're missing the point. No, what I was going to say is that it looks like the Waikato. It actually felt like I was flying over the Waikato. It was really nice. And but it has its own distinct difference, but it felt right. I felt at home. It didn't feel like I was flying in a foreign land. I was actually flying in a New Zealand aircraft in a place that really appreciates it, and the aircraft's well at home.
It is indeed. Yeah. And I think, yes, joking aside, one of the things that I found in New Zealand as an Australian, a bit of a minor globetrotter in our own right, thinking internationally all the time, can't seem to help that, is that, yeah, as an Australian, I often feel very at home in New Zealand. It's different. We have a lot of banter between the two countries, but I think it's based on a lot of a mutual understanding and a long history of cooperation. As for those few of our listeners who wouldn't know, that's where ANZAC comes from, is Australian New Zealand Army Corps. And our guys went to war together, and there's been that close relationship ever since. And the CT4 exemplifies that to a degree. But I think I'm really pleased that Dave's finding that Australia, it's his first real trip to Australia. He's passed through an airport once, which is, everybody knows, airports are horrible the world over. So actually a proper visit to Australia. We're showing him a good time, as I have been shown a great time in New Zealand by New Zealanders. So it is the favour paid back. And yeah, I'd like to say thanks to Matt for allowing me to set that opportunity up. We're proceeding from here. Today is, well, that was yesterday. Wow.
That was yesterday. Today, actually, you were talking about the old ANZAC Trans-Tasman connection, and this morning we bumped into an old friend from New Zealand, and a couple, actually, and it was Don and Mike Zabritsky.
Yes.
Yeah, and they're just down the road, so that was really good. Don was over he's going home tomorrow, but...
Which is one of the reasons we were keen to catch him, that was, again, people being helpful. I think we can give a shout, tip of the hat there to Ian Whitney to tell us that Don was around. Yeah. Don is a great guy, and I'd just like to say he's done some fascinating work with his family, other helpers, with the aircraft out of New Zealand at Dairy Flat, and those regular forum listeners will have been at, or remember, we've had a big forum meet at his museum.
We've had two at his place.
Two, right. Yeah, I was at one of them.
Yep, we've had two there, and he's also been on the Wings Over New Zealand show as well. So.
Quite rightly, yeah.
And I will announce it now so that Don can't go back, but he did actually invite us back for another one.
It was a very genuine invitation, mm-hmm. delivered as only Don would.
Yeah. So we'll definitely set up another visit to his wonderful collection, and we'll announce more details in the future. But
indeed, so there'll be another forum meet back in New Zealand, back when Dave's in New Zealand and recovered at some point
probably
in the future.
Early next year.
Just maybe if we switch, given we're talking about forum meets there, Dave, we've got two more forum meets planned coming up.
Yep.
At the moment, the thinking is that we'll have a forum meet at the Warbirds Down Under Air Show in the early evening of the Saturday after the air show's finished and before people head off for there's some committee meetings and dinners or just a straight dinner. At the moment, we haven't got the details all pegged out. If you're interested, if you're going to be at tomorrow and you'd like to meet up, and we'd love to meet our listeners and friends and so on, then keep your eye on the Facebook page and the Twitter feed, and we'll try and peg that up. We're hoping to do something perhaps at the airfield, which will be the most obvious location. Obviously, we have to fit in with what's viable and so on. So keep an eye out for that one. The other one is that we'll be having a right at the end of the trip, we'll be having a debrief, a meet. At the moment, we're thinking it's going to be at a restaurant at Darling Harbour in Sydney, which is a lovely part of the world, not particularly expensive place if we can manage it, but a nice, wonderful, wonderful Sydney venue. And that will be the final really major element of the trip. Again, if you're interested in that, if you're in Sydney or can get into Sydney for that Friday night, that's the 27th of November, then we'd love to see you there for that. But in that case, we would love to know in advance, because obviously that's going to need book numbers and so on and
so
forth.
Yeah, so definitely let us know via the Facebook or Twitter or by emailing us.
All the usual methods, smoke signals are acceptable if they're the right kind of smoke signals. Just to go back, and of course that would be the evening of the Warbirds Down Under Air Show Day, which is the Saturday the 21st. For those that may not be aware, there's also an evening show the day before on the Friday at tomorrow, and we'll be there, so if you see us, say hello.
Yeah, and also we're just looking forward to the week and a half or whatever it is to come for the rest of the trip. James and I just went through and looked at what we're probably going to be, where we're going to be recording more shows, and it's going to be something like 25 to 30 more shows to come in the coming week.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you guys are going to get a lot of shows, and I think this is going to be coming out, if we put it out one a fortnight, you're going to have a whole year's worth of Wings Over Australia. And in between, we'll also have Wings Over New Zealand shows, the regular Wings Over New Zealand shows, plus the Wings Over New Zealand live show every month. So
You're going to be a busy boy. And I think, yes, you know, just a point here is that we hope you guys out there enjoy this. Hope you share it on. Please pass on the word. We're going to spread the word as widely as possible, not because it's about us, but because we're actually getting to pick up on some great aviation stuff, history, current aviation, vintage aviation and so on, museums. And so everybody we've talked to is doing fascinating stuff or has done fascinating stuff. We want to share that. And part of what we're doing here is we're archiving this. So it's not just about you getting to listen to, we hope, a really enjoyable, interesting podcast that tells you stuff you didn't know and you're fascinated by, but also that we're capturing some of these stories with the veterans, but also with the people working today. And actually walking through these museums with people who are involved with them captures a moment in time, where they're at, what they've been doing. And I think a thing that's come up a lot, actually, Dave, is that all of this is a journey. We're quite, Dave and I are quite literally on a journey at the moment. But the stories we've had from the veterans is that that experience is a journey. But the museums are on a journey as well. It's not just about having all the aircraft restored and being able to sort of, you know, dust it all down and call it a day. It's always a progression from one thing to the next. And the guys involved, like ourselves, in current vintage aviation or heritage or such like, you know, what we know now we didn't know before, and we're learning stuff in the future too. So that's been a really important part, and we're going to be archiving these things and sharing them with each, you know, each museum will get a copy of its recording. Those that want to can obviously put them on their websites or as appropriate as well. So yeah, terrific stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all history, and we're talking to veterans who actually made the history, and we're talking with people, you know, like Ian Whitney, who brought back that history that was lost, pulling stuff out of jungles, and then we're talking with people who are preserving the history for the future in the museums. It's
absolutely, and again, just to jump in there, Ian's kind of history, the history of preservation, the early history of preservation, the guys who went into the jungles and pulled this stuff out, has often been overlooked or underestimated, and there's a lot of politics in there too. Yeah. Some people are very well aware of that.
There's a lot of people who have been overlooked, whereas a few others have been the big names.
Over-promoted, perhaps. So yeah. Some of that is picking up on accounts from, shall we say, the more modest people, and also we like a good story, and again, you know, something that some of the stuff we've had has been terrific in that way. Talking of which, so this afternoon we headed back up to Kyneton Airfield again, and were able to meet up with Murray Wallace, a gentleman I've actually had the privilege of flying in a couple of his aircraft, and he's got a fascinating history. He's a former army pilot, airline pilot, and he operates an army aircraft that he used to actually fly in Papua New Guinea back in the 1970s and so on. That has been, I've always wanted to put Murray on the spot with an interview. He tells a great story, but, like, you know, you don't say to people, tell me your entire story when you meet up with them. But they were able to do that.
We were, and you know, I didn't know much about the Cessna 180s that the Royal Australian Air Force, the Australian Army.
That's right, yes.
Yeah, they were maintained by the Air Force, he said, but they were Australian Army, who was an Army pilot. I should apologise for getting that screwed up.
Terribly, terribly bad, but moving along.
Yep. I didn't know much about the Cessna 180s that the Australian Army operated, and to meet a guy that not only flew them back in the 1960s, but, you know, continues to fly one now, and it's the same aircraft that he was flying up in New Guinea.
Yeah.
He showed me a logbook page, which was from 1960 something or other, and the whole page was that aircraft that we were standing next to. I mean, that's just wonderful. It's really interesting to hear what these guys did and what was going on up there. You know, in the past with the Wings Over New Zealand show, we've heard a little bit about the operations that the Royal Australian Air Force was doing up in New Guinea through Noel Cruz's series with his Caribou flying. But to get the small pilot's point of view as well, the small aircraft pilot, I should say, that's really neat. And I know you guys are going to really enjoy that.
There's some great anecdotes there. Yeah. And actually, there's a funny bit that's not evident. We'll probably be able to put up tonight a photograph of Dave and Murray talking in front of the Cessna with some of the documents to hand. But one thing that we also did was that we were being very much helped out by Murray's very wonderful wife, Andrea, who, and again, she's one of the many people who doesn't appear in the show, but has backed up and made these things possible. So a big shout out to all the backers-uppers. and those people have helped, and several people have helped us, and they wanted to make sure their name doesn't appear anywhere, but we'd just like to give a word out to them as well that we do appreciate very much anonymous help and donation. But along the other family member there was their new dog, Lucky, who had her head on our knee at several points in the interview, but she was a very good, very well-behaved studio guest.
It was almost as if she hadn't heard these stories either, which was quite interesting.
That's right. But, so I've never done a broadcast with a dog attending before, but that was quite a funny little extra. brings us up to now, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, to now, and we've got lots to come.
Yeah.
Many, many more places to come and see. Do we want to tell people where we're going in the next couple of days?
I think it's some of the highlights. We're going to be travelling up, we're going to have another quick look at the Air Force Museum again, because Dave didn't really get to have a good look at the aircraft and the museum itself proper with the other stuff we covered.
That's Point Cook.
Sorry, that's at Point Cook indeed. We're looking to be going down to see Judy Pay's old aeroplane company at Tyab and having a chat with the folks down there, some really interesting aeroplanes there. And then we're going to be heading up to Mora, and we hope to pick up some fascinating people. I'm not going to name names on this one because whilst they're set up, I'd like to give these people a chance to be prepared to be talked about, but a couple of really different things in terms of preservation and aviation experience, which you haven't touched on so far. Some cutting edge aviation preservation to do with archaeology and photographs. Really amazing sort of elements. So we're pulling in all sorts of things that people don't really get to see. Should I say more about that, do you think, Dave?
Not at this stage. I think we'll leave that for the next update.
But there's a teaser, I think. It's pretty teasing, isn't it?
Mainly because I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay, right.
my brain's gone.
And so then we move on to the weekend at tomorrow. We hope, obviously, the air show. Well, that's an air show. It's going to be a big one. It's going to be a really, really cool weekend. And then we'll probably via the Royal Australian Air Force Museum at Wagga. Down there, which is a sort of an hour's drive from tomorrow. We'll head over to Canberra, which has the War Memorial, and we'll be doing a good hard look at the War Memorial. Dave and I there are going to be actually looking at ways of representing and presenting the past. So the War Memorial does some very interesting things to do with using static aircraft, G for George, the Lancaster, for instance, in particularly interesting ways. And as ever, there's a good Kiwi connection there with a very well put together film show, which contrasts with the G for George show, this other film show being about the First World War, which was a very generous involvement by certain key people in New Zealand in the film business. I almost feel like I don't need to say anything more, but I'll hand to Dave to wrap that one up. Peter Jackson, the inevitable name.
Oh, that guy.
Yes, never heard of him.
Well, yes, Amanda's film company. I think we should wrap up this 10-minute update, but since it's now almost 40 minutes.
You're kidding.
No, and I just want to quickly go over the highlights so far for me, because this has been a huge journey of... It's just
a
huge journey, yeah. I mean, discovery and interest, and there's a few things that stand out in my mind, and I just want to go through them first, and then then James can give the details of where people can follow us.
Absolutely.
In case you have been under a rock and haven't found it yet. the highlights so far, I mean, being able to ride in a CT-4 air trainer with a wonderful pilot, Matt, a fantastic guy, on a beautiful evening like that. That was just incredible, and it's really special for me because my next door neighbour designed them, and he used to have on his dining room wall, Pat Monk this is, he had a picture of a Royal Australian Air Force CD-4. The Australians were the first to put them into service, and I worked on them myself in the Air Force, but I never had a ride in them. So.
Amazingly,
and I've always loved the aircraft, and I used to listen to Pat's stories, and it means a lot to have had that. It's pretty cool. Highlights of the aircraft I've seen so far, there's been so many, but the ones that stand out for me, the Douglas Boston that's at Point Cook is just beautiful. The Walrus is absolutely stunning. That's also at Point Cook, and then there's There's so many, but I think the Werribee B24 was also just great, and to be able to have a look inside it as well as stand for outside. I'd seen a B24 in England before, but you couldn't crawl inside it and see what was on the inside. So, and the Bowfighter and the Firefly, two aircraft we don't have in New Zealand. Well, there's at least one Firefly in a container, but you can't go and sit in it like I did, And these things are great. But overall, so far, and this is just absolutely honest, the highlight overall has been the people. The people are so friendly, and I'm not just talking about the people we're interviewing, I'm talking about people we're meeting everywhere. And, even the other day I was by myself in Melbourne and I was going around and got a little bit lost, and just people helped me out. We're just fantastic, really, really friendly people in this little place they call Victoria. And I want to say a huge thank you, particularly to James Kightley and Bev Kightley, Bev Lang, for their wonderful hospitality so far. And I'm sure that sometime next week, James is going to throw me out of the car between tomorrow and Sydney, because he'll get sick of me. But, I'm just having a wonderful time learning so much. And I'm hoping that the stuff that I'm learning is going to be passed on to all of you listeners. And you'll enjoy it. And, it'll be there for the future, and it'll help you guys plan your tours to Australia, because I just have to say, just do it. Come here, come and see this stuff. It opens up a whole new world if you haven't done it before, and I don't know why it's taken me all this time.
I don't know why it has taken you all this time, Dave. Some of it is it's hard to do, and those kind of get out of the zone, as it were. But then thank you very much. A quick shout out to my backer upper, who's Bev, my wife, who's been very supportive to enable all of this, and she's done a lot more in the background to help this happen, like many other people in this whole process. And I hope people are getting the idea. Yep, we're in the middle. We are working hard. We are enjoying ourselves. We are doing our absolute best to capture as much of this as we can and to share it with the listeners and to archive it for the future. I think I would say my key experience so far is that it's been good for me to be actually a bit out of my comfort zone. I've been writing about aviation now for getting on for 30 years. I know a bit, and I know a lot of people, and a lot of people have helped me with transmitting information, usually in writing. I normally get to sit down and check stuff before I share it, and so I've been doing a lot of this stuff on the fly. Like you're hearing now, this is absolutely live,
almost dead, but it is live.
Yes, we feel pretty worn out, but it's great to actually do that, and again, yes, to be a bit challenged and to move on a bit. Also, I think I'd add to Dave, I'm learning stuff as well, always learning anyway, but this has been a very intense learning week in a good way. It's a bit like when you get put on one of those crash courses and you're kind of going, wow, this is great, and then wow, this is great, or whatever.
Yeah.
We're beginning to sound a bit over-enthusiastic on it, but you know what? That's because it really is real. Absolutely. I'm glad the highlights have been good highlights, and the hard thing is picking out the ones that just stand out, because everything's pretty much peaks.
I'm looking forward to the air show, because it might be a bit of a rest.
That's right, although I think the noise will keep you awake. And it's going to be a good show. The Warbirds Down Under show, we haven't really said much about it, because we've taken almost, well, not for granted, but in the middle of it all. But it's a big show. It's probably the premier, definitely at the moment, the premier Australian vintage aviation warbird show around. I think it's going to be giving some of the great Kiwi shows of the past a run for its money. This is, I think, the third one. It's been a biannual show so far, so every other year. They've got a great lineup. We're hearing all sorts of interesting things that are going to be there. All the usual suspects, so it's going to be a good air show, but we'll be obviously reporting on that afterwards.
Go the Hudson.
Hudson, a personal favourite of for both of us here, and one of those aircraft we have, the only one flying in the world, so a good reason to travel over here if for nothing else. But we've packed a lot in. So you've obviously found us through this, but if you can share, please do. We're on Twitter at the at symbol Wings Over Oz. That's AUS, S for sugar. So Twitter is the at Wings Over Oz. Facebook, usual Facebook, and then it's the Wings Over Australia is the after the slash. So Facebook / Wings Over Australia, or one word. And then with on Dave's Wings Over New Zealand forum as normal, Dave.
Yeah, we've got a thread running there where we're giving updates, and that's, what is it called? It's Wings Over Australia is go.
Is the actual thread, yeah.
And that's a sticky thread in the, which sticky means it's up the top of the page the whole time, and it's in the general board. I've been putting a few photos up there, but most of the photos are probably going on to Facebook. That's the easiest way, and
we'll be doing a little bit more with Twitter over the next few days, but we just simply haven't had the time to put out as much as we've got, which is why we've done this broadcast just now. So we hope you guys feel updated out there. Please check in and keep tabs on things. So the key points to take away is we're doing a lot, we're covering a lot of ground, some really fascinating stories. Podcasts will be coming out on museums, on veterans, on personalities in vintage aviation in Australia at the moment. It's global in interest, Australian-based, lots of Kiwi content. We've got a bit of ground to cover yet, which is all good stuff to come. And there's going to be, looks like, about a year's worth of podcasts out of this. So hang in there, folks.
And we're going to be broadcasting live, actually live, on Wings Over New Zealand live show on Warbird Radio on the 25th. Which is Wednesday here in Australia and in New Zealand, and it's Tuesday the 24th in America. If you're listening there, that's the normal slot for Wings Over New Zealand live show. And Grant should be on board, and hopefully we'll be on board. Otherwise, Grant's going to have a very dull show.
Well, he can pretend that we're saying all these things, can't he?
Yeah. And we'll that'll be after the tomorrow show, so that'll be a big wrap up show.
On the air show, yeah, absolutely.
That'd be the live wrap-up show, like this update. But there will be, of course, later on, the edited tomorrow shows. So. But I think we should probably call it a night and actually get this online so people can listen to it now, James.
I think so. So thank you for your attention. Please excuse us our hiccups. This has been a live recording. We have been travelling a fair kilometreage. We are hitting on, I think, 900 kilometres distance covered so far in the road. Thank you very much for your interest and support. If you've got any questions, hit us up through those routes, the Twitter, Facebook, or the Wings Over New Zealand forum. Thank you very much.
And we'll see you soon.